Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is February 10th, 2026, and I have to be honest with you. Waking up to the news today, it felt a little bit like waking up in a different timeline. You know that feeling when you realize the future isn't just coming soon, but it like actually parked in your driveway overnight?
That is the perfect way to describe it. I mean, this morning's stack of reports.
Right.
Usually when we sit down to prep, we have these really clear lanes. You've got your space news over here, your tech business news.
Yeah, maybe some gaming stuff at the end. They all kind of stay in their own corners.
Exactly. But today,
it's just one giant collision.
Yeah.
We're looking at a mega report, effectively, where space exploration, the global economy of computer chips, and the very way we define working are all just smashing into each other.
It's convergence. Total convergence. We're not just looking at isolated updates anymore. We're looking at a fundamental shift in autonomy. And I don't use that word lightly. We're seeing machines becoming independent explorers in space, software that acts more like a team of colleagues than a simple tool in a hardware market, that is.
Well, it's becoming so exclusive, it's practically locking the door on the average person.
That's the vibe I'm getting. The training wheels are coming off, for better or for worse.
So let's map out the agenda for this deep dive, because there is a lot to unpack. We're going to start off planet, looking at how NASA has basically graduated AI from assistant to independent explorer.
Which is a huge distinction.
Huge. Then we're going to talk about a piece of hardware, a graphics card, that costs $5,000. And we're going to explain why this one little piece of plastic and silicon is inadvertently ruining your chances of buying a new video game console this year.
It's a brutal lesson in supply chain economics, a really brutal one.
Then we'll get into the agent team's revolution in software. We'll check in on some massive infrastructure changes Google is making in the Middle East. And we'll wrap up with the only gaming news that, like, managed to survive this whole hardware crisis.
A lone survivor.
Our mission today is to figure out how a rover on Mars, a shortage of RAM chips, and the new way we work are all part of the exact same story.
It's all connected. Let's dive in.
Okay, let's start with the stars. NASA released a report today about a new AI model called Anomaly Match. Now, usually when I hear AI in space, I think of, you know, trajectory calculations or maybe cleaning up pixelated photos. But the numbers here are, they're just mind-boggling.
They are. And this is the headline story for a reason. So today, NASA unveiled the results from this anomaly match system. And the claim is that in just a matter of hours, this model combed through all this archival data from the Hubble telescope.
Hours.
And identified 1,300 cosmic anomalies.
1,300 in a few hours.
Right. And just to be clear for everyone listening, anomalies here doesn't mean like errors or glitches in the camera.
Right. This is actual science.
It means scientific phenomena, real stuff. And the kicker is that hundreds of these had never been seen by human eyes before.
That is the part that gets me. We've had this data for years, right?
Yeah.
It's just been sitting on a server somewhere.
Exactly. It's archival data. It's been sitting there available to the public, to scientists. But the human capacity to process it all, it just wasn't fast enough or sharp enough to spot these little outliers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Humans are great at pattern recognition, but, you know, we get tired. We have biases about what we expect to see. This AI just looked at everything all at once and said, hey, look at these 1,300 weird things you missed.
It's like having a librarian who can read every single book in the library in an afternoon and point out every single plot hole.
That's a great analogy. But the report shifts gears from Hubble, which is looking at the past, to what's happening on the surface of Mars right now. This is where the concept of autonomy stops being academic and gets real.
You're talking about Perseverance.
Yes, the Perseverance rover. According to the updates today, it has just completed its first fully autonomous navigation missions. It's using these advanced vision language models to literally see the terrain.
So just so we really understand the shift here, previously, someone in mission control had to tell it exactly what to do, right? Like, move forward 3 feet, turn left.
Basically, yes. Or they would program a very, very short, very safe path. The problem is the light speed lag.
Right.
It takes anywhere from 4 to 20 minutes for a signal to get from Earth to Mars. So if the rover is driving and it sees a cliff, it can't wait for a human to shout, stop!
The message would get there too late.
The round trip for that conversation is way too long. It would be at the bottom of the cliff before the message even arrived.
So previously, they just moved incredibly slowly to be safe.
Painfully slowly. Stop, scan, wait for instructions, move a tiny bit. Now, The rover is using these models to identify hazards, to understand the terrain, and to find its own path instantly.
Wow.
It's deciding where to go based on the scientific goals it was given. It's not a remote-controlled car anymore. It's an explorer that just, you know, checks in with us occasionally.
Yeah. That is an incredible amount of freedom for a machine.
Yeah.
But, and here is where the deep analysis from our source material comes in. This autonomy isn't just about making the rover faster. It brings up some serious questions about the Artemis program.
This is the so what of this whole segment.
Yeah.
NASA isn't just testing this on robots for efficiency. They are optimizing these AI models for Artemis, which is the program putting humans back on the moon and eventually to Mars.
Okay.
The goal is to have an AI that's capable of making safety-critical decisions for astronauts when communication with Earth isn't possible.
That sounds intense. You're talking about an algorithm making life or death calls during a crisis.
It's a necessity. If you're millions of miles from home and your life support system throws an error or a solar flare hits, you don't have time to email Houston.
No.
You need a system that can react instantly. The report mentions they're developing protocols to keep the line between assistant and decision maker clear, but mechanically, we are handing over survival decisions to code.
It's the ultimate trust exercise, then. We're building things that are faster and smarter than us, and now we have to rely on them to keep us alive because we're simply too slow to save ourselves.
That's the reality of deep space. Speed is survival.
Speaking of speed and the hardware that makes it possible, let's bring this all back down to Earth. Because while NASA is enjoying this AI boom, the average consumer is about to feel some serious pain in their wallet.
Yes, the hardware divide. This is where the economics of space and AI just crash right into your living room.
So, the rumors were true. We have a new monster component on the block, the RTX Titan Blackwell. And monster feels like an understatement.
It is a beast. The specs confirmed today are just staggering. It's built on a new architecture, and it packs 64 gigabytes of GDDR7 memory.
64 gigs of VRAM. For context, my gaming PC has maybe 16, and I thought that was pretty good.
Right. And the price tag.
Go on.
It's estimated to be around $5,000.
$5,000. Okay. So obviously this is not for the kid playing Minecraft.
No. And that's the critical distinction here. This card is priced and spec'd for a very specific audience, primarily for local AI training. If you're a company building those independent explorer AIs we just talked about, or you're simulating complex robotics like those modular robots we've discussed before, this card is the brain you need. It's a professional tool.
A workstation card. Mm-hmm. But here's where it impacts everyone else. We got some pretty bad news from Valve today, didn't we?
We did. Valve basically came out and said, bad news, everyone. They've had to delay their new hardware projects. The rumors were for a new Steam machine, advanced VR headsets.
And it's not a design problem.
No, it's that they literally can't afford to build them.
Because of the parts.
Specifically, RAM and SSDs. The report cites a 400% price increase in these key components over just the last year.
400%. That is astronomical. Why is it jumping that high?
It's what economists call the crowding out effect.
Mm.
The memory manufacturers, you know, companies like SK Hynix, Samsung, Micron, they have finite production lines. They can only make so many chips a day. Okay.
Right now, data centers and enterprise customers are screaming for high-speed memory to power these massive AI models, and they are willing to pay a huge premium.
So if you're a manufacturer, do you make cheap memory for a $500 game console? Or do you make ultra-high MMR for a $5,000 Titan card or a $1 million server rack?
You follow the money every single time. And that leaves the consumer devices, consoles, gaming PCs, even smartphones, basically fighting for the scraps at the back of the line.
And the forecast isn't great.
No, the forecast in the report suggests this inflationary wave in hardware is going to last right through the end of 2026.
So if you were planning to build a PC or buy a new high-end gadget, the advice is don't hold your breath for a discount.
No. In fact, if you see it at MSRP, buy it now. Things are probably going to get more expensive before they get any cheaper.
Which leads us perfectly into the next segment. We know the hardware is expensive, and we know data centers are hoarding it. But where is it all going? We have some leaked details about Google's new infrastructure that give us a clue. This is the infrastructure of intelligence. We're looking at what seem to be leaked engineering plans for Google's Gen 4 data centers, slated to open late in 2026 in the MENA region, that's the Middle East and North Africa.
Why there? And what makes these centers Generation 4?
Well, the location is strategic for a few reasons. Energy global latency coverage. It sits nicely between Europe, Asia, and Africa. But the tech inside is what's really fascinating.
Okay.
These centers are designed specifically to host hardware like that RTX Titan Blackwell we just talked about. The plans show these incredibly advanced liquid cooling systems.
Liquid cooling. That's usually something you see in a custom gaming rig with a bunch of neon lights, not a massive warehouse.
It's becoming necessary physics. These new chips run so hot and consume so much power that traditional air conditioning just doesn't cut it anymore. If you used air, the chips would throttle. They'd slow themselves down to prevent melting.
So the liquid's the only way to get full speed.
Exactly. By implementing this at scale, Google can run these AI models at maximum efficiency 24/7.
It sounds like they're building a life support system for the AI.
That's a really good way to put it. And for users in the Mid-Air region, this is going to mean a massive jump in local processing speed. Low latency AI is coming. But there's a background war happening here, too. It's not just Google building happy little server farms.
Oh, absolutely. The sources mention a fierce corporate battle brewing between NVIDIA and Broadcom. They're fighting for dominance over custom chips, or ASICs.
Right. And let's just define that quickly. An ASIC is an application-specific integrated circuit. So unlike a graphics card, which can do a lot of different things, an ASIC is a chip designed to do one thing incredibly well.
In this case, running AI code.
Precisely. Broadcom and NVIDIA are fighting for dominance in this custom chip market. And this competition is actually causing a knot in the global supply chain because both sides are booking up all the manufacturing capacity they can find.
Which again contributes to that scarcity we talked about with Valve. It's all one big tangled ecosystem.
It is.
But there is a strategic takeaway here for the IT folks listening. The expert recommendation in the source material is pretty blunt.
It is. The advice is basically stop trying to buy your own hardware.
Really? Just give up.
In a way, yes. If you're a business, the advice is to stop relying on buying physical servers because they're becoming too scarce, too expensive, and they depreciate the second you plug them in. Instead, move toward hybrid cloud infrastructures.
Let the big guys handle it.
Exactly. Let Google and NVIDIA fight over the liquid cooling and the supply chain headaches. You just rent the outcome.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Outsourcing the hardware headache.
Yeah.
Okay, let's pivot from the hardware to the software running on it. Because while the chips are getting faster, the AI itself is changing how it even works.
This is the shift from chatbots to colleagues.
We have a new release from Anthropic today, Opus 4.6. And it introduces something they're calling agent teams.
This is a really significant evolution. For the last few years, the paradigm has been you ask a chatbot a question, it gives you an answer, one-to-one. Ping pong. Opus 4.6 changes that. It allows for multiple AI agents to work together on a single complex project.
So explain how that works in practice.
Yeah.
Is it just one AI pretending to be two different people?
No, it's distinct, specialized instances working in a workflow. So let's say you want to build a simple software application. In the old model, you'd ask the AI to write the code, then you'd have to paste it, test it, find a bug, go back, ask the AI to fix it.
It was very manual for the human.
Very. With agent teams, you just assign the goal. One agent acts as the architect and plans the structure. It passes that plan to a coder agent that writes the script. Then a third agent, the QA, reviews that code for bugs and sends it back to the coder if it finds any.
And they just talk to each other.
They iterate among themselves. You just get the final tested result. It's all about orchestration.
That sounds incredibly efficient. But the report also mentioned some instability in the market. OpenAI has actually removed some of its older models.
Yeah, this is the flip side of progress. OpenAI removed some legacy models, like GPT-4o, which has caused a lot of backlash from developers who are relying on them for their specific workflows.
So it feels like the landscape is shifting under our feet constantly.
It is. We are moving past the chatbot era and into the digital colleague era. The discussion in the source material really drives this home. This isn't just about picking a tech tool anymore. Choosing the right agent team, curating your digital staff, is becoming a strategic career decision.
That is a wild thought. You're not just hiring people anymore. You're managing a synthetic workforce.
And if you don't, your competitors will. Productivity is about to be measured by how well you manage your agents, not just how fast you can type.
Man, the workplace of 2026 sounds intense. Let's take a breath and look at the lighter side of things for a second. Despite the chip shortage, despite the inflation, gamers actually got a win today.
They did. A massive win for the indie scene, especially.
Mugenix is finally out.
Finally. This game has been in development hell for
what, years? I think we first heard about it more than a decade ago.
I think so. It's from the creators of Super Meat Boy and The Binding of Isaac.
Hmm.
And frankly, it seems like it was worth the wait. It's already topping the charts on Steam.
Immediately.
For those who haven't seen it, what's the gameplay loop?
It's distinct. It involves these really complex genetic systems. You're basically breeding cats mixed with Pern-based tactical combat. The reception has been glowing. Reviews are praising it for offering literally hundreds of hours of gameplay.
Which is exactly what you need when you can't afford a new VR headset because RAM's too expensive.
Exactly.
You need a game that runs on a potato and lasts forever.
It's the perfect recession-proof game. Low specs, high replay value. But there's also some interesting console news. Nintendo has confirmed new titles for the Switch 2, which we know is coming, but the leaks suggest something surprising. PlayStation 5 games being ported to the Switch 2.
That is a plot twist.
Mm-hmm.
Sony playing nice with Nintendo. Usually they're in their separate walled gardens.
It signals a new era of cooperation, I think. With hardware costs soaring, exclusives are just so expensive to maintain. If you're Sony and you spent $200 million making a game, you need to sell it on every screen possible to make that money back.
It's a pragmatic move in a tough economy.
It is.
So let's try and wrap this whole picture up. We've started the day with NASA effectively handing the keys over to AI to explore the universe because we humans are just too slow.
Right.
We have a hardware market that has turned memory chips into gold, pushing gamers to the sidelines while data centers gorge themselves on power. And we have software that is turning into a workforce of its own.
It's a lot to process. But the central theme is integration. The rover on Mars relies on the same type of algorithmic advancement as the agent teams running on your laptop.
Yeah.
And both of them are fighting for the same silicon that's going into those Google data centers in the desert.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
And I want to circle back to that Artemis point you made earlier. We're optimizing AI to save astronaut lives because of the time delay.
Right. We are crossing a threshold. When communication cuts out, the AI becomes the captain. We are building systems that we have to trust because the problems are becoming too complex and too fast for human reaction times.
That is the big takeaway for me. We're building things that are faster and smarter than us, and now we're trying to build the guardrails to make sure they stay on our side.
It's the ultimate trust exercise.
So here's a provocative thought to leave you with today. We talked about agent teams solving problems and rovers navigating Mars without us. If the AI can do the work and the robot can drive the car, at what point does the human become the bottleneck in the system?
That is the question of the decade. Are we the pilot, or are we just the slow part of the circuit?
Something to think about while you're waiting for those RAM prices to drop. Stay adaptable, everyone. The future is moving fast.
See you in the next deep dive.